Are you a spiritually minded believer? Most Christians today would say yes, but how can you know for sure? Discern the Bible's definition of a truly spirit-minded person next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Now, the very first issue of The Plain Truth was published in February 1934. It came out right on the 1st of February, 1934. That is practically 49 years ago, just almost 49 years ago. I'd like to read you what I said. I was rather astonished when I once again read what I had written there very close to 50 years ago. In just a couple of months, 3 months, it'll be 49 years. We live today in the most momentous, anxious moments of Earth's history. Today, we stand on the very threshold of colossal events that will stagger the mind of mortal man. Just now, it is like the lull before a great and devastating storm. Everyone senses it. 3 or 4 short years ago, many laughed and scoffed when I said that there would be another world war in 5 to 7 years. They do not laugh and scoff now. Everyone knows that the world war is coming, and soon. So once again, The Plain Truth, even in its first issue, was way ahead of its time, was predicting what was going to happen. People scoffed. They said, that's a crackpot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But World War II did happen. It did come.
Even in its first issue, The Plain Truth, way ahead of its time. That's Herbert Armstrong speaking back in 1982, just a few years before he died, talking, as you heard there, about the very first issue of a magazine that would go to 8 million homes or addresses before it was all said and done in the mid to late 1980s. He was talking about world war in 1934, and of course, 5 years later, World War arrived. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us for today's show. That first issue of The Plain Truth, it was a very modest and humble beginning for this magazine that would go to 8 million people by the time Mr. Armstrong died, as I say. But it had 2 articles in it. The first one, you know, the memorable headline, He said, is a world dictator about to appear? And as you heard there, he was talking about that first issue and that first article, saying that everybody senses that something is wrong with this world. Everybody can feel it. Everybody knows something's about to explode. And you could say the same thing about today. I mean, look at the wars and the rumors of wars, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, talking about the last days. Mr. Armstrong's forecast was spot on, very accurate. We talk a lot about his forecast in this brochure. He was right. And of course, these are always some of our more popular programs when we talk about an accurate forecast, when we talk about Bible prophecy, when we talk about tomorrow's news today. And if you want to hear about that or read about his forecast, make sure you request that brochure, that booklet. We just recently expanded it, by the way. But, you know, Mr. Armstrong also had a lot to say about Christian living, about being a true Christian. What constitutes a true Christian? What does a true Christian do? And, you know, he addressed that in that first Plain Truth issue. It was only 8 pages. The first 5 pages or so was on the article he was paraphrasing and quoting from in that cold open. But then the back half of that first issue, he had this article titled, What is Real Spiritual Mindedness? You could have titled it, What is True Conversion? And at that point, Mr. Armstrong was only a few years removed from his conversion to the truth. And I mean, his life took a complete change in direction when he was coming to a knowledge of the truth when he was immersed into the truth of the Bible. And when he saw, when he got deep enough into the study, he saw that, you know, I've got to start living this. I can't be a fake Christian. I can't be a Christian in name only. If I hear but I don't do, like James said in James 1:22, I'm just deceiving myself. So what do I need to do? And he saw he needed to do a lot. With God's help, of course. With God's guidance and direction. With God's Word, the Holy Bible, guiding him. Today we want to spotlight our 36-lesson Bible correspondence course. It's a wonderful study. Sponsored by our college, the college we have here on campus. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's named after Herbert Armstrong, our namesake. Our college is named after him. You see him on the cover of He Was Right. And you see it on the cover of our correspondence course lessons. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It gets you immersed into the Bible so that you can understand and know what the Bible says, what God's teachings are, and not take some man's word for it, but actually see for yourself. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it talks about being a good workman when it comes to your Bible study. This course will help you do that. You get four lessons at a time, and then you take a short quiz at the end of those before you get the next four lessons. And the quiz isn't that difficult, not if you're reading along and writing out your scriptures and your answers and so on. But if you can put in 30 to 40 minutes a day on this course, you can get to know the Bible. Going back to that first plain truth issue, what is real spiritual mindedness? Mr. Armstrong said, the spiritual mind is the surrendered mind. It is the yielded mind. It is the mind that has given up all wanting its own way. It is the mind that has been thoroughly conquered in its rebellion against God. It is the mind that henceforth is willing to obey God, no matter what the cost, and which continually studies God's Word, not to argue and strive and corner people, but to learn more of God's will and to walk in it. Now, this is a message, the second half of that first Plain Truth magazine. This is a message that's a lot more difficult for readers to accept, because it means they've got to make some serious changes. And that's hard for human nature to do. It's easier to be fake. It's easier to just talk about religion. It's easier to just say, you know, I'm a Christian. It's easier to wear a necklace or to put up a portrait or a picture that has some kind of religious connotation and say, you see there? That means I'm religious. Well, but how are we living? And then, more broadly, look at this world. Look at the trouble that we're in. I mean, we're steamrolling toward another world war. And a lot of people don't seem too bothered by that. We should be. What's the problem? What's the cause? Why is there so much conflict? Why is there so much division? Why is there so much deception? Why do leading figures in the world today lie to each other and pretend to do one thing when really they're doing another? Why so much corruption? Why so much division and hatred? The spirit of hatred is everywhere. In that first issue of The Plain Truth, where he talked about, you know, what is real spiritual mindedness, Mr. Armstrong spends some time talking about fake religion. And given what we're seeing today, a lot of talk about religion, but very little substance. And here again, Jesus said, look to the fruits. What do you see happening in the world? What do you see happening in the nation? What do you see happening in politics or in business or at the individual level? What do you see happening with families or marriages? He said about fake religion, that these folks say they are saved by faith and faith alone. They are not so much concerned about the Holy Spirit and seldom mention such things as repentance, utter surrender, or any need of submission and obedience to God's will. They just don't talk about the sin question. They don't talk about repentance. Why? The Bible does. The Bible gives a perfect definition of what sin is. 1 John 3:4. Look at that sometime. It tells you what sin is, and it tells you what to do to get rid of sin. That's the truth of the Bible. It says this fake religion never works any miracle changes in their lives. Since Jesus died for our sins, we do not have to obey. Again, this is very common, this belief. Just believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved is their sole condition to salvation and Christian living. The churches of this class should be called social clubs. They are not soul-saving institutions. They teach that you don't have to obey, just believe in Jesus. So really, what's the point of studying the Bible if you don't have to do anything? Herbert Armstrong talked about the Bible being an instruction manual. What do you do with instructions? Let's say you get something new, you know, some electronics for the living room or your car or whatever, and you can't figure out how it works, how to put it in, how to use it. What do you do? Well, you go to the instruction manual and it shows you how. This is the instruction manual for Christian living. It shows you how to live. James says it's like a spiritual mirror. You can look into it and see where the imperfections, the sins are that need to be cleaned up and removed. It's like Jeremiah said in the Psalms, it's like a lamp that lights up our path, the Holy Bible. It shows us the way to go. And that same Jeremiah, by the way, said that it's not in man to direct his steps. That's in Jeremiah 10. So if it's not in man, if it's not in our nature to direct our own steps, what do we need to walk the right way? We need God's lamp. And that is the Holy Bible. And this course, 36 lessons, it gives you a summary of the teachings of God. Isaiah 29 talks about, you know, bringing the Bible together here a little, there a little. You have to put it together like pieces of a puzzle. And this course will help you do that. It will help you put the puzzle pieces together. And you can get to know your Bible. And by getting to know the Bible, you can get to know the real Jesus Christ. You can get to know Jesus. Jesus Christ. I mean, the Bible is Jesus Christ in print. That's a wonderful, wonderful relationship that you can start working on today. Getting to know Christ, the true Christ of the Bible. Notice 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. And as always, I would encourage you to get your Bible and to read along to see what it says, to prove all things. 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come." So the last days are going to be noted for danger, peril. And when you think of dangerous times, well, and we see a lot of it. You think of war, you think of nuclear bombs, you think of terrorist acts. And those are signs of danger for sure. But then when Paul goes on to talk about these dangerous times, notice what he brings up. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." You mean self-love is dangerous? A lot of people would scoff at that and say, no, okay, maybe it's not great to be vain and filled with self-love, but how can it be dangerous? Well, look at the root cause of so many of these dangers that we see all over the world with war and rumors of war. And doesn't that in many ways boil down to vanity, self-love, pride? I mean, look at Lucifer. He was filled with self-love before he became Satan the devil. And that self-love, that vanity, it led to war in heaven. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Is that dangerous? Is that a sign of dangerous times when children disrespect and dishonor their parents? Well, Paul says so, because what does that lead to? It leads to disrespect and dishonoring authority in general. It says, without natural affection, this is verse 3, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent or without self-control, fierce despisers of those that are good. It says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What we see a lot of that in the world today. You mean loving pleasure more than God is dangerous? That's a sign of perilous times? It sure is. This passage shows that we're just so immersed into our sins, our evils, and it's leading to so many dangerous acts, so much danger all over the world. He's describing here just how ugly and self-centered human nature really is. And of course, if you look at other passages of the Bible, Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart of man, or the mind of man, the inside of man is deceitful and wicked above all things. Wickedness and deceit. That's what the human heart is noted for. It's hostile to God and His law of love. But coming back to what Paul describes here, it says in verse 5, having a form of godliness. So what he's describing in verses 2 to 4, he's describing the dangerous times. And then he says, you know, this all has a form of godliness, or in other words, it has an appearance of something that's holy and righteous. Because a lot of times you can mask self-love and make it seem like it's real humility when in fact it's fake. You can kind of cover it up. Disobedience to parents. How many parents just laugh it off and say, oh, well, that's kind of cute. No problem that it's just a defiant, disobedient attitude that leads to a lot worse in the way of problems much later, sometimes not even much later. How many parents, though, make that mistake and just kind of laugh it off? It all has an appearance of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It denies the power. It's talking about the Word of God, God's truth, God's instruction. It denies the power or the strength, the energy, the real force that's behind the truth of God. There is power in God's Word. It says in 2 Timothy 3 that all Scripture is given by inspiration from God. God inspired it. God organized the Bible. God put it together miraculously, just like He brought the material universe into existence. That was a miracle. There are a lot of miracles. We can learn so much just from God's creation, Romans 1 says. But here is fake religion denying God's power, the miraculous power behind the Holy Scriptures. It has an appearance that looks like it's religious or it's godly, but it's not. Notice Titus chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 15. Again, it gets what true religion is. It gets back to what Mr. Armstrong was talking about in the very first issue of The Plain Truth. And, of course, he talked a lot about it in the very last thing that he wrote, and that would be Mystery of the Ages in 1985. He talked about building godly character and how it involves discerning what's right, what's wrong, and surrendering to God's will, surrendering to the right, and then doing the right, even when every temptation is pulling you in the direction of doing the wrong. He knew what it meant to be truly converted. A lot of people don't know this today because they've been told that, look, it's just a shallow thing. Just receive Jesus into your heart. And you don't have to do anything. Jesus did everything for you. That's a cop-out. That's the easy way. Jesus said it's the straight and narrow way that the true Christian goes, not the wide, easy way. Jesus said you've got to deny yourself. Jesus said in the Count the Cost chapter in Luke 14, If you do this, this, and this, you'll have to read it on your own time. But if you do this, this, and this, you can't be my disciple. You mean, are there actual verses in the Gospels, of all places, that say if you do this, you can't be a disciple of Christ? There are. There are verses that say that. You can see why. You have to study your Bible. Because otherwise some man will come along and just say, yeah, this is what it means to be a Christian. It really doesn't involve much of anything. You don't even have to study the Bible. Just show up, feel good on a Sunday morning service for 30 or 40 minutes, and then leave and go about your, you know, whatever. If you are filled with self-love all through the week, that's fine. Just pay lip service to Jesus, and everything's good. That's not true religion, sorry to say. That is not the teachings of Jesus Christ. We have a podcast, by the way. It actually plays on a few stations every weekend here in the United States. It's called The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. And on that show, we look to the only reliable source of information when it comes to Jesus Christ and his teachings. You have to look to the Bible. The Holy Bible is the Word of God. The Holy Bible is Jesus Christ in print. Here in Titus, notice it says, verse 15, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. You mean there's more to it than just professing to know God? Well, God says, what about your works? Or what if your works deny him? What if your works, he goes on to say, are abominable? What if your works are disobedient? And unto every good work, a reprobate or a failure, in other words. What if you're failing as a Christian? What if your works are denying God? That's New Testament theology right there, Titus 1, verse 16. You can see why Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In other words, why do you profess Jesus, but you don't do what Jesus said to do? 1 John 2 and verse 4, he that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If you profess to know God, if you profess to know Jesus and you don't keep the commandments, listen, this is 1 John 2, 4. This is not me saying this. It's the Bible saying that you're a liar if you profess and don't do. That's why this course is invaluable, because you can get to know the Bible in 36 lessons. I mean, you can get this magnificent summary of the true teachings of the Word of God. It's to be studied along with your Bible. You'll have this open on your desk and your Bible will be open and hopefully your notepad and your pen. And you can slow down in this frantic paced world that we live in and just enjoy the Word of God. Get up early in the morning before everyone in the household gets up and really dig into the Bible. Be diligent in your study, just like the Bereans were in Acts 17. They searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Those things, by the way, that Paul was teaching them. So Paul came along. He was preaching the truth. He was preaching from the Bible. And he encouraged, obviously, he encouraged the Bereans. Now you make sure you prove what I'm saying is true. You've got to prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And they had such a wonderful attitude and mindset. And they really went into their study with, I can't wait to get into this. Not with a, you know, I dread this, it's boring, you know, the clock doesn't move. I'm ready to go and seek after pleasures. I love pleasures more than I love God. Well, if you initiate that daily action, you'll come to love the Word of God. If you push yourself through those bouts of laziness or those pulls of the flesh, then you'll delve more deeply into it. And soon enough, you'll come to love what you're doing and you'll want to do more of it. And you'll want to get more study in the evenings as well. You'll want to fill up on God's word, God's truth. And you can begin the journey of what it means to be a true Christian. Someone who's studying the word of God, not to try to prove someone else wrong because you're fueling vanity. That's just knowledge puffing you up with vanity and pride. But studying the word of God because you sincerely want to learn how to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:21. That's what it means to be a true Christian. That will bring life into your temporary existence. That will, as the scriptures say, that will quicken you. That will make you alive. You'll be consuming Jesus Christ's flesh and blood, as it says in John 6. You'll be filling up on the life of Christ. And God will be guiding your path, showing you the way, shining light on your course, the course that is your life. The Armstrong College, Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Make sure that you call our operators today and subscribe. There's no cost or obligation. Everything we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. Just call the operator, give us the mailing address, and we'll start straight away sending you the first four copies or issues of this wonderful Bible Correspondence Course. That's all we have time for on today's show. We appreciate you joining us for this week's episode of The Key of David, and we look forward to seeing you again next week.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Order now.
The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.